thankful for the righteousness. You know, we got there was that outpouring of righteousness revelation that started in the mid-90s in Frankfurt and other churches around, but you know, we got a little bit of taste of it back at the denominational church when Pastor Callahan was teaching, just hearing some things that I'd not heard before. And see, when I was born again at the age of 14. And I told you I fulfilled that word in Ephesians where I was seeing no victory in my life and just threw off all restraint in my life and went into the world ankle deep, head first. You know, just drugging, drinking, running with the devil, you know, doing the stuff sinners do. And then came back to Jesus when I was pregnant with Billy in 1985. And that was in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And because I had lived such a loose lifestyle, I so wanted to not be loose or have any kind of resemblance of looseness, you know, as a Christian, not knowing I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so I tried to dress it up from the outside, you know, and because I just wanted to be holy. And so I'd wear long skirts, not cute ones like this. I mean, long skirts that would be bigger, so I'd make sure I'd show no figure at all, and big bulky sweaters and big glasses, and just really dressed very, very conservative, so that I just, you know, because I would feel condemned about my past, and it would just and I wanted to prove that I wasn't that anymore. But what little bit I was, and when I say little bit, I'm not saying there wasn't much, but what Pastor Callahan was bringing forth, I grabbed hold of it with everything that I had. And I tell you what, my appearance started to change. Amen? You know, those frumpy clothes had to go. And and really who I was on the inside began to shine from the inside out. And then when God started bringing that out in doses in the mid-90s, boy, it's freeing. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for what we know. So thankful to be able to walk around and be confident in who you are. To be able to walk around and know you are somebody in Him. And that you have power, dominion, authority. And that whatever He's put down in your heart, having all the confidence that you know through Him in you, and that righteous nature in you, you're going to make it all come to pass. Not intimidated by anything or anyone. Not caring what anybody or anyone thinks. I'm not talking about having a stinky attitude. I'm just talking about you're not worried about people's opinions. You just know who you are and you like you. And tonight, I want you to fall in love with you. You know, we were in the word that in Matthew where he said that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, there's some neighbors I don't want to love me. Because they beat up on themselves so much, you know. And but you need to fall in love with you because you are something wonderful. You are something marvelous. Amen. And we started out this morning in my sessions and talked about how righteousness is not a license to sin. In fact, righteousness gave us victory over sin. Praise God. And we found out that that old nature was dead. It's just a corpse and has no power. And that new man that's created in the image and likeness of God has all the authority to just nail the lid on the coffin, amen, and to dominate the thoughts and to walk in that newness of who He is. And then in the second session, we talked about how our righteousness is not a matter of fulfilling laws and lists and all that. And in fact, we can't dress ourselves spiritually speaking from the outside in. We got to put on the new man, which after God's created in righteousness and true holiness. And righteousness has positioned us enabled us to be led by the Holy Spirit. And as we're being led by the Holy Spirit, He leads us in that righteous man that we are. That righteous man, he's an enablement to receive from heaven. Isn't that beautiful? To be able to receive those transmissions from heaven that direct our lives and the fullness of our destiny. Glory to God. It's beautiful. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 3. Say glory if you're there. Look with me in verse 21. It says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And I know we've hit this, but let me, I can't pass over verse 23 anytime I read it because it's been so religiously taught. We were born the first time into sin. We were all born short of the glory of God. But then we got born again. So we don't come up short on anything. Praise God. In fact, we're going to find out tonight that the fullness of God, all that He is down on the inside of us. Glory to God. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And we found out today that we were born again by grace, but that grace that brought us into this righteous nature now takes us into more grace. And now through the abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness, we reign in life in this Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Reign in any and every area. There is not any area of your life because of grace and because righteousness that you do not have reigning power. Hallelujah. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Now, let's read this. Well, let me go ahead and read verse 26. "To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Now I want to read this to you out of Young's Literal Translation. "And now apart from law, hath the righteousness of God been manifested, testified to by the law and the prophets. And the righteousness of God is through the faith of Jesus Christ to all, and upon all those believing, for there is no difference. For all did sin and come short of the glory of God, being declared righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God did set forth a mercy seat through the faith in his blood for the showing forth of his righteousness because of the passing over of the bygone sins in the forbearance of God. for the showing forth of his righteousness in the present time, for his being righteous and declaring him righteous, who is of the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want to pull out of this for you. I want you to see Jesus, and I want you to see Jesus on the cross and him becoming sin. When he was on the cross and he became sin, he took sin out of the way for you and me, so that sin is no longer a stumbling block for us. Glory be to God. And then, as we said earlier, he took that sin and the curse, and he took it to hell and gave it back to the guy that it belonged to, the devil. And then he rose up. And what he did is he took the blood that was spilt, and he took the blood to heaven, and he put it upon the mercy seat. And God the Father looked at the blood of Jesus being poured upon the mercy seat in heaven, and he released his faith in the blood, and God himself made a declaration, righteousness for all mankind. He looked at the blood and believed in the blood for you and me and made a righteous declaration for you and me. Hallelujah. So that's how God looks at us. That's how he looks at us. Through the blood of Jesus. Amen. He sees people not going to be righteous, not covered up, but people who have been made righteous. Hallelujah. Go with me to Psalms 139. Oh, this is one of my favorites right here. Oh, I like this. Verse 16, the psalmist speaking to God here. He says, "Thine eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members," say all my members, "were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." Let me read this in the Amplified. "Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them." Oh, glory to God. I want you to see this two ways. First, how I want you to see it is before you ever even entered into your mama's womb, God already conceived you, already had a destiny planned for you, and he wrote it down completed. Are you hearing me? And now I want you to see, now here you are on planet Earth. You're this born again man, this born again woman, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're in the process, not in the process of being made righteous, but in the process of putting on that new man, which after God's created in righteousness and true holiness. And everything that that righteous man has been stamped with by God, God's written in his book is complete. I'll tell you what, when I saw that for the first time, that put a boldness, that put such a kick in me to come before the grace of God, to come before his presence. Because I think, man, you look at me, you look at the book, and you say, complete. He looks at me, and he sees fruit of the Spirit, love. He looks at me and he sees every anointing he ever called me to. He looks at me and he sees every gift he designed for me to operate in. Are you hearing me? He looks at me and he sees the fullness of revelation operating in my life. And the list goes on and on. He looks at the book and he sees that all your members, while they're in the process of being put on, they were written down and the book is complete. Glory be to God. God believes in you. God believes in you. He believes in who he made you. Hallelujah.
I just love saying that. Say, God believes in me. You gotta know that. You know what? It may be sometime in your life. It may be sometime in your life. It may seem like other people don't believe in you. But God believes in you. Sometimes that can be true. Not around here. You know, maybe those old friends don't believe in you. Maybe those old family members don't believe in you. But God believes in you. And if you believe in you, and you know God believes in you, there's absolutely nothing that you can't do. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. He believes. Praise God. He knows what's down on the inside of you. He knows what you're made up of. Man, he sees you as a man of faith, a woman of faith. Wall to wall power. Miracles happening everywhere you go. Glory just flowing out of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, say glory when you're there. And verse 4, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, when you mess up, God didn't stop believing in you. The best thing you can do for yourself when you make a mistake is still keep believing in you. In fact, I gotta say this. You've seen things down on the inside of you that perhaps at a time in your life or at certain times in your life you happened upon it or you stepped on into it, but didn't stay there. Things that you knew were of God. Or perhaps you saw it down on the inside of you, and it may seem like no one else sees that, but you see something down on the inside of you that you know God's placed in you. And it looks like, how could this be? But God put it in you because he believes in what he can do in you, and he believes in the ability that he's placed down on the inside. Glory. Verse 4 again, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Now, we talked about adoption this afternoon. Remember that? That placement of that as mature sons. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Look over at verse 11. And whom also we have obtained and an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You need to understand, child of God, that God has, how do I want to put it? He's marked, he's imprinted, he's put in your spirit, your destiny. Everything that he's called you to be. Everything he's called you to do, you've been marked forever by that down on the inside. It's in there. And he'll never deal with you any other way than according to that. When he's ministering the word to you, when he's leading you, when he's directing you, he doesn't direct you by past failures. He doesn't direct you or order your steps by what seems to be inabilities naturally. He looks at the destiny that he's marked your spirit man with, and all his dealings with you is according to that. He never loses sight of that. He never changes his mind about that. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, I love telling that to the men in prison. Because you get those men in prison, and they've been in there some years. Some of them got some years on them. And they kind of got the attitude, well, I'm born again, and God can just take what's left over and do with it whatever. Well, we serve a supernatural God who never stops dealing with us according to his will, his original will that never changes for our life. And the thing I love about it is I thought, God, what if I would have known what I know all my life? Where would I be today? And he says, Sherry, I restore everything to you as if you've lived this all your life. And I said, well, you know, how can that be? And he took me to Joel chapter 2, and he says, I restore the years to you that the enemy has stolen from you. And how does he do it? I don't know. He just does it honestly. But I do know this, your righteous man has a whole lot to do with it, because he says he does a quick work and cut it short in righteousness. And I know the greater the revelation that I have received on my life, the greater the restoration, the acceleration that it has caused in my life and has caught me up to the place to where it would be as if I've lived this all my life. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. But he always deals with you according to his counsel. He talks to you. He deals with you. He directs you. He sees you through his will for you. Your destiny in which you've been marked with never changes and is ever before him. And he has total confidence that you can do it. God never lacks confidence in what he's called you to and your ability in him to fulfill it. Let me say it again. God never lacks confidence in what he's called you to and your ability in him to fulfill it. He's totally confident that you can do what he's called you to do. Your mistakes don't move him. He's not up there in heaven and saying, oh, shoot, I didn't know you were going to do that. If I would have known you were going to do that one, I never would have designed this destiny for you. He knew. Isn't that amazing? In fact, he who sees the end from the beginning saw every choice we were going to make, saw every direction that we were going to take. And he said, man, that's just the one I want. Let me just bring them on in, make them righteous, stamp them with a destiny, and just cheer them along all the way. Glory to God. He believes in you. Amen. You need to believe in yourself. Hebrews chapter 10. Very important here. Verse 35. You need to highlight this, underline it, have it in front of you. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath a great recompense of reward. Let me read it in the Amplified. It says it just a little bit different. Do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. God wants you to understand that even when you mess up, even when you miss it. Don't fling away your confidence. Stay confident in who you are. Stay confident, because it's in your confidence that you've got the great reward. Him saying that, listen to me, him saying that now gives you the right to be confident, even when you miss it. Because didn't we somehow think, well, I missed it, so I really don't have a right to be very confident in what I can do now. And it's all my own fault because I messed up. No, he says, don't fling it away. Don't cast away that confidence, because in it you have a great recompense of reward. Amen? You hang on to the to that confidence. Stay confident in who you are. Stay confident in what you can do. Believe in you. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to James chapter 1. In verse 23, it says, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he beholds himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was." New American Standard says it this way: "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." Now, the point I'm wanting to bring out of this, the point is God gave us the word so that we can see how wonderful he's made us and all that we can accomplish. He made that word a mirror so that you can look at yourself. In fact, I don't know if Pastor Jack's already been there. We'll probably go there tonight. 2 Corinthians 3:18. When you look in the Word of God, you're to see the glory of God. The glory of God, simply put, is all he is and all he has. And he wants you to look in the Word, and he wants you to see all he is and all he has. Help me out. When you look in the mirror, who do you see? Not a hard question. You see who? You see yourself, right? And he calls the word the mirror. So when you look in the mirror, he wants you to, when you look in this word, he wants you to realize you're seeing you. And if you're looking in the word, you're supposed to see glory, all that God is and all that God has. And he still calls it a mirror, and it's reflecting who you are. Glorious. Praise God. And I tell you, you need to carry a compact around you. So all throughout the day, you can look at how good you are. That's what God's doing. He's in these sessions today. All throughout the day, he's wanting to put the word in front of you and say, look at you. Look how good you are. Look how awesome you are. Look at what you can do. Look how you're my masterpiece. You're wonderful. You're powerful. You're all that. Glory to God. Well, I think that's getting a little conceited and a little cocky. No, it's getting a whole lot confident is what it is. Amen? Praise God. You need to talk to yourself like that. We understand it's in Christ Jesus. We understand it's because he's made you righteous. But you need to spend a long season, starting today, talking yourself up to yourself. Talk about how powerful you are, how wonderful you are, how you're God's masterpiece, how you look just like him, how you act just like him, how you can do whatever he does, how powerful you are, how authoritative you are. And when you said that, say it again. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And by you saying that, you're going to hold your mind to that. And if you hold your mind to it long enough, you're actually going to live it as if it's true. Because it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. Now, I want to take you to some word here on what he says about you. 1 John 4. Say glory when you're there. 1 John 4, verse 4. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's first talk about you being of God. He says, you're of God. You've been born of God. You're his child. You've been born of heaven. He's your father. You got G-O-D DNA running through your veins. Are you hearing me? You are an uncommon breed. Nothing like you has ever existed before. You're a God man is what you are. Oh, you used to be a common man. You used to be a natural man. But you've been born again of heaven. You've been born again of God. You've been born again of the Word of God. And now you are an uncommon man. There's nothing common to you anymore. You're a son of God.
I don't feel much like a son. I mean, you know, you would have saw what I did last night. Thoughts I had this morning. It didn't change who you are if you're a born-again child of God. You just upgrade your thinking about yourself. Amen? Take the word of God and change the way you're thinking. By the Spirit, you're going to be able to mortify that. Put that to death once and forever. Hallelujah. You're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I want you to understand this about greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Yes. God in you is greater than he that is in the world. But you know what? Because God is in you, you have been made just like God. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that righteous man that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. That man that's been reborn in the image and likeness of God, he is better than anything that's in this world. Whatever that's on this outside here that wants to try to challenge you, to try to come against you, honey, you got a man on the inside of you. It's you. It's you in the image and likeness of God. And he's greater than anything out here. There's nothing outside that's greater. Praise God. Hallelujah. That word. He says, you're God, little children, and have overcome them. And that word overcome, it means to carry off the victory, to subdue, to conquer, to prevail. When one is arraigned or goes to law, to win the case and maintain one's cause. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a conquest. It's a means of success. Understand, child of God, because you're born again, there is no failure in you.
Because you're born again, there are no defects in you. Because you're born again, all that's in you is success. You are a champion. And there's not anything that you cannot overcome. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater means greater is your ability. Greater is your authority. Greater is your power. It means to be esteemed highly. Listen to this. To be esteemed highly for their importance. Let me say it again. Let that sink down in you. To be esteemed highly for their importance. Who you are is esteemed highly because you're important. Say, I'm important. Say it again. Say it again. You're important. You've been born on purpose. With a purpose. You're a very key part in the scheme of things. You've been born into the kingdom for such a time as this. And God gave you an important part to play in what he's wanting to play out in this world. You're a key figure, and he esteems you highly for your importance. Greater he that's in you than he that is in the world. It means to be splendid, to be prepared on a grand. Hallelujah. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Now, Paul wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by divine revelation. It's the word of God for you and me. This is what God says about us. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now help me out. How many in here are Christians? Christ meaning an anointed one and his anointing. You are an anointed one. He anointed you and he looks at you and he says you can do all things through that anointing. What's left out of all things? Is there anything left over? How about what he called you to? Is that all things? How about owning the wealth of the world? Is that all things? How about divine health? Is that all things? How about walking in authority? Is that all things? How about walking in joy? Is that all things? Walking in love? Is that all things? Healing the sick, is that all things? Raising the dead, is that all things? Opening blind eyes, is that all things? Walking free from condemnation, is that all things? What's left out of all things? You can do all things. To strengthen you, all things, to be strong in body, to be robust, to be in health, to have power. To have power is shown by extraordinary deeds. To exert and to wield power, to have strength, to overcome, to be a force. Not just to have force, to be a force. Just by showing up, you're a force. Shows up in the room. Everything changes
just because you show up. The anointing's there. The peace of God is there. Love is there. And people just want to come in and get under what you have on you. Because you are a force. You go someplace and it just begins to prosper because you're there. It wasn't prospering before. The store probably was empty the rest of the other part of the day, but you showed up and it got busy. Because wherever you show up, you're a force. What car company should be doing the worst right now with all of its recalls? Mm-hmm. But there happens to be a man there who knows who he is. Who's a force in the place. And so Toyota of Frankfurt's doing just fine. They're having one of their finest years they've ever had. Because there's someone there that can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Amen? Wherever you've been assigned, your home, your community, your workplace, your ministry, wherever you go, God has sent you forth as a force. He says, look, I've marked them with destiny. I've anointed them. Now I want to strategically place them because they're a force wherever they go. Hallelujah. Can do all things. All things. The all, the any, the every. The whole, the each, the every, the any, the all. It just means all. Glory to God. You've been strengthened. You've been empowered. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 6, as is, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Weymouth says it this way, he's raised us with him from the dead and enthroned us with him in the heavenly realms as being in Christ Jesus. That's your position. The day you got born again, you were raised up together with Jesus Christ and you were seated at the right hand of the Father. When God looks at you, that's where he sees you positioned, at his own right hand. Honey, the body is never separated from the head. That would be a freakish thing. Jesus is the head, but we're the body. And is Jesus at the right hand of the Father? So where are you and I? Right there at the right. And that's a place of authority. It's a position of authority. And every minute of the day, no matter what you're facing, no matter what's going on in your life, all God sees is you seated at his right. That's my man of authority. That's my woman of authority. Their position in my son is right at my right hand. They don't see you falling down. He doesn't see you tripping up. He sees you enthroned at his right hand. Now listen, there's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that God doesn't bring conviction when conviction needs to be brought. Amen? But you know what conviction does? See, condemnation would say something like this. Man,
I thought you were better than that. You dirty dog, I can't believe you did that. Ain't you close to having to being born again? But the conviction of the Holy Spirit says, that's not who you are. You got authority over that. Now here, I want to take you to this place in the Word. So that you can subject your mind to that. And so that you can see who you are, who you really are, and rise up above that. I hear me. He sees you at the right hand. He never sees you falling off the throne. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Don't have to go far, do you? In verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Say, that's me, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's how he sees you, with great power, because he's given you great power. He sees you. The power that he's given you and me is the same power that reached down to the grave and raised Jesus up from the grave and seated him at the right hand of the Father. The power God has given us knows no limits. It'll go to the depth of the grave, to the right hand of the Father. That's the power that God has placed to you in our hands. Amen? Which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. There, everything has a name, and you've been set above all things. There's not one principality, there's not one power, there's not one dominion, there's nothing named that you've not been placed above it. God sees you above the circumstances. He doesn't see you under the circumstances. He sees you above only. He never sees you beneath. Are you hearing me? He sees you the head only. He never sees you the tail. He sees you dominating in every area of your life. That's how he sees you. And in fact, he cannot fulfill all things without us, because he says we are the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You're important. Glory to God. Go to Colossians chapter 2. And verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. That word complete, you're made full. You are abounding. You're furnished and supplied liberally. You're filled to the top so that nothing shall be wanting, to full measure, filled to the brim, to make complete in every particular, to render perfect. Isn't that awesome? The Godhead bodily dwells on the inside of you, and it has made you complete. You have nothing lacking in you. There's no insufficiency in you. There's no incompleteness in you. You are complete in him. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful?
Romans chapter 8. And then we come to this, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Child, God, He's for you. He's for you. He's the biggest cheerleader you have. He's so fully persuaded you can do anything. He's so fully persuaded that there's not one thing you can't achieve. That destiny He's placed down on the inside of you, He knows that He knows that He knows you have the ability to complete. Glory. Glory to God. He sees you anointed because you are. He sees you casting out devils because He knows you can. He sees you healing people because He knows you can. He knows there's not one thing that you'll ever address that you do not have the authority and the power to overcome. He knows you can do it. He's totally confident. And He wants you to believe in yourself. Be confident in who you are. Lord, I repent. Thank you for the blood. I'm the righteousness of you in Christ Jesus. Give me some word, Lord. And strengthen myself in my faith in that area on who you've made me to be. I won't forget those things that lie behind. And I'm just going to keep running towards the mark, the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Because I know I can. Is that a mistake? A mess is not going to cause me to miss a step. I'm going to keep going forward because I can. Because everything I need to succeed is on the inside of me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's all I got.